Hello, my name is Jonathan Gelares. I am a communication major here at Clark University and the lead editor and sound producer of this podcast. Professor of Philosophy Noam Freund will be narrating the following guided tour.
Welcome to the Clark University Heritage Tour. This is Noam Freund, and I will be serving as your guide. You have accessed the Noble Beginnings segment of this particular tour. This part of the tour begins at the south windows of the Lingen Technology Commons in the lower level of the Schrupp Library. If you are not yet at that location, please proceed there before beginning. Dubuque, in 1843. As you gaze out the south windows of the Lingen Technology Common and look at the south campus, called the Angel Campus of Clark University, try to imagine what it looked like in 1843. In that year, we're a very small community town with a fur trading and lead mining heritage. The place where you're standing right now is more than 2 miles outside of town, and the many trees you see before you did not exist at that time. There were a few oaks, heritage oaks indeed, that you can see to the right, that were there even then. But most of this area lacked trees in 1843 and was used for lead mining purposes. In point of fact, when this property was later bought to build Clark University here, there was one active lead mine that remained here. In 1843, statehood was still 3 years away, and in Dubuque, there were no public schools. There was Catholic education for boys, but no educational opportunities for girls. That set the stage for activities and actions on the part of the BVM sisters that would bring education for girls and young women to this community. BVM sisters relocate from Philadelphia to Dubuque. In 1843, Bishop Loras desired the presence of Catholic sisters in the Dubuque community to further educational opportunities here. There had been no opportunities at all of any formal education for girls. And thus, he contacted the BVM congregation, all of whom's members at the time were living and working in Philadelphia, to relocate to the prairie. The BVM congregation chose first to test the waters. They would send a corps of 5 BVM sisters to Dubuque to see what the situation was in the local community and to establish a school. If all went well, the others would follow later. Among those 5 BVMs that first traveled to Dubuque were Eliza Kelly, for whom our Fine Arts Building is named, and Margaret Mann, who served as the superior of this small group of BVMs. Their travel here was not easy. It involved train, canal boat, and for most of the way, steamboats along the Ohio River and up the Mississippi. Arriving on the Feast of the Sacred Heart in June of 1843, these sisters busied themselves with organizing their first school in Dubuque. And so it was on July 5th, 1843, St. Mary Female Academy on Cathedral Square opened. It was at first a day school for girls who ranged in age from preschool to those who would be graduating from high school. The youngest ones were called minims, as in minimum, because they were so young and little. The school was a success, and so the decision was made for the entire congregation of BVM sisters to relocate here. The remaining sisters arrived in the fall. With the arrival of these sisters, they decided to take boarding students as well. And the first principal or president in charge of that school once borders were taken was Mary Frances Clark. That is why, to this very day, Clark celebrates October the 4th, which is the feast of St. Francis, as Founders Day, the origin of Clark University. We trace our history, despite our multiple locations, by where the borders go. For a college is a place where students can live on campus, have their meals there as well as all their educational opportunities. We would spend 3 years at St. Mary's Academy on Cathedral Square before moving to a new and different location. One other interesting point, the BVM sisters were always dedicated to teaching students even if they were too poor to pay tuition. That meant a need to generate income to cover the costs of students who could not pay. The method that the BVMs employed to accomplish this was music lessons. Because music lessons were not required, but were an extra offered after school, there was a fee for music. The children of wealthier parents were able to have music lessons, and this income from music was used to pay for the education of those who couldn't provide for themselves. It was also the BVM's commitment to justice that the students who could pay and the students who could not pay would be combined together in the classroom so no one would know the difference. Other Clark locations. Where the borders went, so did we. The campus you're standing on is actually the fifth, and we assume the final, location of Clark University. In tracing our history, we trace the relocation of the borders to new schools over time. Often, when the borders were relocated, the school where they had been at previously remained open as a day school only. So it was after 3 years, in 1846, that the boarding students were moved outside of Dubuque to a distance about 8 miles away to the southwest on the new Mother House campus, St. Joseph on the Prairie. There they would stay for 13 years, from 1846 to 1859. Because of the difficult travel with that distance from the city of Dubuque, a decision was made in 1859 to move the boarders back to a school inside the city of Dubuque. They moved to the Academy of the Sacred Heart, which was renamed to the prairie name that had been St. Joseph. This location was on the Loras Hill, on what would now be the campus of Loras College. From 1859 to 1868, the boarding students were there. When the Bishop of Dubuque sought the building for use as a seminary for boys in 1868, they were relocated again to the St. Joseph Academy on Main Street. This was located directly across the street on 13th and Main from what is today Mario's Restaurant. The boarding students would remain there from 1868 to 1881. So to sum up, we trace our history from where the boarding students went from time to time. Clark University was first St. Mary Academy from 1843 to 1846, then St. Joseph Female Academy on the Prairie from 1846 to 1859. Then the Academy of the Sacred Heart renamed St. Joseph Academy on Loras Street from 1859 to 1868. And then the fourth location, St. Joseph Academy, 1868 to 1881, on Main Street. Mount St. Joseph Academy. At this time, please move away from the window area in Lingen Technology Commons and go take a look at the model of the original campus buildings, which is in the center of the space where you are at. Take some time to walk around the model and look at the different styles and types and angles of the buildings from our earliest era on this location. Once you have done that, go to the front of the model for this next unit of the tour. By the late 1870s, St. Joe's Academy on Main Street was busting at the seams. It was a school both for day students and for boarding students, and there simply was not enough space there. Thus, a decision was made to purchase property to relocate the boarding students once again for what would be our fifth and final location. This area you stand upon was not part of the city of Dubuque in the 1870s. It was 2 miles removed from town. No city services existed here, including there was no water provided for this area. This made the purchase of the land to be at an acceptable price for the BBM sisters. The height of the hill overlooking the downtown of Dubuque was also desirable and thus would lead to the name of Mount St. Joseph Academy at this location to distinguish it from the day school St. Joseph Academy on Main, which would remain open as a day school until the late 1950s when Wallard Catholic High School opened. As you look at the model, notice in particular Margaret Mann Hall. This was the original academy building, built in 1879 to 1881. It contained everything an academy would need. A dormitory floor for the students to live, a chapel for the use of students and sisters, a dining room, a library, classrooms, and of course, convent space for the sisters who would live on campus as well. The most stunning feature of Margaret Mann Hall was its twin square towers, which served a practical use. Within these towers were water tanks and a windmill, which was constructed over a well on the campus, pump water into these towers so that gravity would provide the method of flowing water throughout the new academy. What was done for a septic system? Well, the former lead mines on the lower part of campus proved useful because they were the source of the use of the first septic system on this campus. To the right of Margaret Mann Hall in the model, you see Rose O'Toole Hall. This was constructed in 1883 and 1884, just a few years after the completion of the Academy building. This addition was necessary because of the great success of the institution and its expanding enrollment. Rose O'Toole Hall contained additional classrooms, a large chapel on the third floor, and on the lower level, an assembly hall with a thrust stage where musical and dramatical performances were staged. Mount St. Joseph Academy opened in January of 1881. Our first graduates, therefore, spent only the last semester of their senior year on this campus before getting their high school diplomas. Transition to a college. By the 1890s, it was becoming increasingly clear to the BVM sisters that both their students and the BVM teachers themselves needed higher degrees, and that the future would eventually require them to have it. Thus, a decision was made to join to the academy a college division to be called Mount St. Joseph College. Principal in making this decision, the Mothers General, and on this campus, the Superior, Mary Bertrand Foley, BVM, were very much involved with the decision to create the college. A college building would be needed to expand beyond an academy. As you look at the model, look to the far right in the model and you'll see the sign for Mary Bertrand Hall. The college building would be named after her since on this campus she was more important than any other person in transitioning us to a college. When the college building was completed in the very first years of the 20th century, it contained college classrooms, dormitory rooms for the collegians, a college library, a dining room, and an early gymnasium on the lower level. Most prominent of all in Mary Bertrand Hall was the beautiful Sacred Heart Chapel, which projected outward from the building towards the street. The beautiful spires of this chapel would be the symbol of our institution for more than 80 years to come. Eventually, with easier transportation, the need for a boarding academy declined. And so it was in the late 1920s that the academy was closed and the college was renamed Clark College in 1928, later to be named Clark University in 2010. Loss of the heritage buildings. In May of 1984, roofing work was being done on all of the original buildings that you look at in the model before you. The materials that remained after the work was completed were being stored on the roof of Rose O'Toole Hall. They were awaiting the eventual arrival of a crane to remove them from the roof. They were stored under a black tarp, and on the 17th of May, 1984, the heat generated under this tarp was hot enough to combust into a fire. Yes, it was spontaneous combustion of roofing materials stored on Rose O'Toole Hall that caused the 1984 fire. The burning materials burnt through the roof and entered the attic, which was entirely made of wood and was an interconnected attic among all the buildings. The fire rapidly spread to the upper floors of all of these great buildings before you. And by the time the fire was extinguished, these wonderful heritage buildings had been destroyed. As you exit this space with the end of this tour, please notice, upon exiting the library, the beautiful statue of Mary that is there near the entrance. This statue, called Our Lady of the Moonlight, was a campus shrine that was in the courtyard space defined by these three old buildings until the fire of 1984. This completes the noble beginnings portion of the Clark University Heritage Tour. If you so choose, you can access a different part of the tour at this time.